more Idaho Matters right now. So believe it or not, bugs are in trouble. Now, despite how you may feel about bugs, they're very good for the environment, and they're being threatened by pollution, habitat loss, a changing climate, even the kind of clothes that we buy. Now, Vicki Hurd is the author of the book, Rebugging the Planet, The Remarkable Things That Insects Do and Why We Need to Love Them More. She'll be talking this Thursday as part of this year's Treasure Valley Pollinator Project. She's joining us now along with Jessica Harold. She is the program coordinator at the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, Gemma. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, Vicki, why did you write the book Rebugging the Planet?
Yeah, well, I've always loved invertebrates, and not just insects, but all of them, the worms, the spiders. And I did hear a few years ago, I was beginning to hear very alarming information and data trends and how they were being really, really found in far fewer numbers when they should be abundant, you know, and there was lots and lots of good research showing that they were in trouble in many parts of the world. And I am a campaigner by training. I do a lot of communication about farming, about food. And I thought, well, I can write a poster, 100 ways you can help the bugs. And it ended up being a book because there's just so many ways and so many things to talk about when you think about bugs, what they do for us. And so it became a very positive book about rebugging. And also the final reason was everybody's talking about rewilding in Europe, you know, leaving somewhere for nature, leaving a whole estate to just be rewilded. And most of us just, we don't have an estate. We don't have a farm. Yeah. So it was to give people a chance to rewild, but in their own way. And I said, well, if you can rewild, you can rebug. That was kind of where I got to.
So Vicki, why are bugs so important to the planet?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't really exist without them because they pollinate the plants that we, you know, a huge number of plants that we eat. And even the really special ones like chocolate and coffee, you know, they wouldn't exist without the mites that do the flies that do the pollination. But also it's under the soil, they're incredibly important in creating the soil environment for us to be able to eat those foods that are pollinated. Also the trees with which we make a lot of our furniture, the air we breathe, they do an awful lot of important stuff in terms of protecting the soil and the water and protecting the air we breathe. They do a lot of filtering, a lot of breaking down stuff, which if they didn't do, we'd be knee deep in leaf litter, or far more than knee deep, and also in dead bodies. You know, they do an incredibly important process in our lives and in our water, in our food, everything. But also they're an important food source for the other animals that we love, like birds. A lot of people love birds. They wouldn't be around if you didn't have the invertebrates to do all the work for them and be part of their food source.
So, Jessica, why did you decide to invite Vicki to speak at this year's Treasure Valley Pollinator Project? Because I do understand the project's focus this year is beetles.
We thought that Vicki's book was just such a great tie-in because she is talking about all sorts of insects. And this year, as we are talking about beetles, we thought it was a great fit to really broaden our idea of insects. When we think about pollinators, we're often thinking about bees and butterflies, but they also play an important role, like the beetles do in pollination. And they have so many other benefits that Vicki mentioned as being decomposers and really helping just be part of the earth's cycle, that it seemed like such a great tie-in to bring her here.
Mm-hmm. And Vicki, my understanding is that you have a blog about rebugging the planet through children. Mm-hmm. I am so curious about this because I have kiddos. My youngest, do not get him around a bug. All chaos will break loose. But why is it important to get kids to maybe not like bugs? Because I don't know if I could ever get them to like bugs or feel comfortable around them. But maybe getting them to understand why they're important. Yeah.
Well, this is one of the most important things about what I'm trying to do with this book and with the rebugging campaign and with my website. I've just done a blog yet, all the ways you can do fun rebugging activities with kids to do just what you say, to get them to familiarize themselves with the bugs, where they are. And the fact that 90 probably 99% of them are either completely harmless or actually critical for our lives. And you can do all sorts of things with them in a garden, in your park, in green spaces, or even in a concrete area, because there's going to be some bugs around, because there's going to be some plants. So it's just one of the most important things is to rebug our attitudes. And that's the title of one of my first chapters, because what I'm trying to do is to get everybody to be an ambassador for the invertebrates, either with their family, their colleagues, their friends, their community, to actually move off that idea that we should be fearing them, you know, that they'll sting us, that they're dirty, that they'll give you diseases, that they're harmful, they'll destroy you. There's a very small number that are a pain in, you know, a pain for us, but the vast majority are really great. And if nowadays we've all got smartphones, we can take photographs and you can see up close how absolutely stunning they are. You know, just their antennae. If you get some beetles, they've got the most extraordinary, you call it the Maybug, I think, in America. That is one of the most beautiful beetles. And it just bumbles around because it's not particularly good at seeing things, but it's got the most incredible antennae. If you can get children to see that, they'll fall in love. I don't doubt. And also all the butterflies and the moths, they're stunning to look at. But just understanding what they do as well, and particularly, as Jess was saying, the beetles, you can lift up a log in your garden. If you've left a bit of your garden, which is a really great rebugging thing to do, you lift up some logs, you'll see some incredible beetles there, and possibly even beetle grubs, which can be quite large. And people can think, oh, maggots, but they're not. They're just babies. They're babies, and they're there. They do a job, you know, breaking down litter and decomposing stuff. And they're really, really important. And they're important pollinators too. Some of the smallest ones. And wasps are another one. People misunderstand wasps. There's so many wasps that do an incredible pollination job for us. So getting children to not think they're going to sting. So I think parents and carers have a job to do here, learning why they should react differently when children are around invertebrates.
Absolutely. Jessica, I am running out of time, but I very quickly want to know, when will Vicky be giving her talk this week, and how can folks get involved?
Yes. So Vicky is one of the guest lecturers for the Boise State Idea of Nature public lecture series. You can email ideaofnature@boisestate.edu to receive your Zoom link for her presentation. It is online this Thursday, April 20th at 6 p.m.
Well, I want to thank both of you for talking to us about this. We've been talking with Vicky Hurd, the author of the book Rebugging the Planet, and Jessica Harold with the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District. As we mentioned, Vicky will be talking this Thursday night as part of this year's Treasure Valley Pollinator Project. We'll also put a link for you on our website. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.